if you think about the way fitness has come from when I was young, I'm probably more fit now than I was when I was younger. And the idea that you really truly can even get a new body. My husband's just had an ankle replacement. He's 67. And he goes, I just want the rest of the body to be new. And I was like, you know what? You have a choice with that. And that's called exercise and eating healthy. And we all have a choice every day. And so we can choose this, you know, abundant living healthy. And I love the fact that you're combining the wealth and the wealth, because, and you've talked about this, you know, if your body is the only place you get to live, right? While you're here. And so there are, living a full life is multifaceted, and that has to be a part of it as well.
Welcome to the Wealthy, Wealthy, Wise podcast. If you would like to listen in on thought-provoking conversations with countercultural thought leaders and experts in the fields of wealth, health, and relationships, the three keys to having what I call a wealthy, wealthy life, then this is the show for you. I'm Christina Wise, real estate investor, best-selling author, Falling for Money, and founder of Wealthy Wealthy, where I serve as your personal guide to money, health, and happiness. Welcome back to Wealthy Wealthy Wise. In this episode, I talk with Karen Briscoe. Karen has a leading real estate business in Virginia, and she is the author of Success in 5 Minutes a Day, and she is the host of the 5 Minute Success podcast. If you are a real estate agent, broker, investor, freelancer, small business owner, or aspiring entrepreneur, this is a must listen. We talk about the biggest mistakes variable income earners make that obstruct their ability to succeed financially. And on the flip side, Karen shares the mindsets and habits required for big business success. Since Karen and I are both made and molded out of the real estate industry, this was a really fun conversation. We completed so many of each other's sentences. I hope you enjoy. Karen, it is so nice to meet you. Thank you for being on Wealthy Wealthy Live.
Well, we chatted a bit. I feel like we both are kindred spirits, and so I'm glad to meet you as well.
Well, I'm so excited to talk to you for a number of reasons that you come from real estate and a real estate background. So a lot of my listeners are in real estate because that's really been most of my career and sounds like a good part of yours and still is. And so tell everyone a little bit about you, like where'd you start and kind of what's brought you to what you're doing now?
So when I graduated from high school, I wanted to get away from my small town in Missouri, where everybody knew my father, and moved to Dallas and had an opportunity to go to work for Trammell Crow and did residential lot development. And I loved it and met my husband, married and had children. His career took us to the Washington, D.C. metro area. So we've been up here almost 25 years. And for most of that time, I stayed home with our children. I started working part-time, as often happens when they got, you know, to be that late elementary, middle school age, and did not start working full-time until our son left for college. So I tell people that you can start at any time, because I think sometimes people are like, oh, but I haven't been in whatever for so long. How could I get back into it? I'm like, you could start at any time. And it really is, I think, a great story as well for particularly women who want to reenter the workforce and are looking, not necessarily just real estate, but are looking to find something beyond the commitment that they made to raising their family, which I'm glad I did because I enjoyed the time I was with my kids. But I, even with all the volunteer work that I did, I knew that there was something more. And it's interesting, there was a Facebook posting. They're like, what would you do if you could do anything you wanted to do? And I was like, well, I already do that.
I already do everything
I want to do. And I look back and I love the years that I did a lot of volunteering and very family focused. And I love that. Right now I'm much more professional focused, you know, not just in the real estate, but now as an author and I have a podcast. And so it is, to me, I feel like I just got started. And so I feel like I have a lot more to contribute, and I'm, you know, just want to share that I think the story can be told at all different ages and stages.
That is an important thing to bring up. And in fact, it's nothing I've ever talked about on my show. But what I do is I'm really a wealth coach, a wealth
a wealth and money coach in a way to especially for freelancers, for real estate agents, for brokers, for anybody that's in a variable income type profession, because managing money is more difficult when you don't know when you're going to get your next paycheck. So anyway, since that's what I do for my work, kind of my day job, if you will, is that, and looking at real estate as a means for producing financial freedom and passive income and that type of, you know, what I teach and talk about now. I have a lot of people that are talking, you know, they come to me and they feel so stuck with their finances in a way because they feel like they can't do anything different. They're kind of stuck where they are, or they don't know, they think that they're too old to start something new. They think they're too old to change careers or to go towards that passion. And so that stuckness, you know, really produces a lot of anxiety, especially around this thing called money. So what do you say about that? I think that's a really inspirational story, that this age thing's really in our head, that we can start something new at any time, right?
Absolutely. And it's like the proverb of, you know, when was the best time to plant a tree 20 years ago? When's the next best time is now? My husband and I, we didn't start investing in real estate until our son graduated from college. And it was actually one of those accidental things. He moved back to the DC area and was looking for a place to live and couldn't afford anything. And I'm like, well, you know, we're thinking about investing in real estate. And so we bought a property and he and his friend rented it from us. And that has turned out to be one of our best properties since then. We bought several more. And I think people oftentimes are like, oh, but you know, I should have done this 10 years ago. I'm like, yeah, I should have too. And yet there's no time like now. So start now. And then the other thing about my situation and my story is that my husband and I have traded places. So he was the primary breadwinner and he was, you know, it was mostly his schedule and his demanding professional life, and I managed the home front. And so as I became more and more successful, I'm like, okay, I did the first 25 years, you get the next 25 of doing the laundry and coordinating a household. You know, it's just logistics, right? And it's been really a great, actually, for our relationship, because I appreciate him more now and he appreciates me more, because a little bit of a role reversal. And he retired a couple of years ago, and it really has now my income is the primary income. So in the beginning, it was just that extra income to, you know, make some nice vacations and do some extra things. But then at one point, it became the paying for the college income. And now it is the income, and it's the streams of income that I am focusing on, we're focusing on together, but I'm the primary driver on that is I agree with you. It's creating the passive income, because that is actually, in my view, more important than the asset creation, even though passive income comes from asset creation. But I'm like, you should be looking at both.
Well, you're spot on. So this is about you, not about me. So I won't go into my little diatribe, but you basically summed up one of the primary messages I teach, is that really the conventional financial wisdom out there is asset accumulation, you know, mm-hmm. invest in stocks and bonds, or you should be investing for this thing called retirement. And it's like, no, you're accumulating assets for this thing called cash flow, i.e. passive income. So anyway, right on. All right. So let's talk about, especially with real estate, and are you still selling?
Absolutely. I am still the rainmaker. So then what happened a few years ago, actually it was 2015, I achieved what I think a lot of people would say is success. I mean, I was making a good income, had a great team, love what I do. I love my profession, but I still feel like I was capable of doing more and there was more out there. And I had a epiphany. It was, I don't know if you've heard of The Big Leap with Gay Hendricks. And I think you mentioned something about genius. So he talks about the zone of genius. And I was really good at my zone of competency. And yet, at some point, it just wasn't providing that meaning that I felt like there was still there. And so, and I had what he calls an upper limit problem of, I didn't feel like there was enough time or money to do what I wanted to do. And I was on a retreat, a leadership retreat. And that last day, we were supposed to share what was stopping us from doing what we wanted to do. And most people's limiting beliefs you know, are again, time and money, but you know, other people, circumstances, the market to change. And I was like, it hit me. Well, the only one stopping me is me. I mean, truly, particularly if you're self-employed, I mean, really, truly, I'm totally in charge of my schedule, my time, and my money. And so if I'm saying I don't have enough time, that's a lack mentality. That's a scarcity mentality. And in the book, Gay Hendricks talks about this in terms of time being a matter of perspective, that Newtonian time is the scarcity focus. And that is, you know, 1 minute on a hot stove feels like an hour. So like if you're doing something you don't love to do, or you don't like to do, or you don't want to do, or it's not your competency, it just like takes forever. You know, if you sat in anything that is not meaningful to you, but 1 hour doing what you love or with someone you love flies by, right? It's like a minute. And that was like, so time is a construct. It's a human construct. Really, we create all the time to do all the things we want to do. We really do. It's very abundant when you look at it that way. And that was a paradigm shift. So it was a couple of epiphanies, one after the other. And so I committed to writing my book. I no longer said I didn't have time. I made the time. I created the time. And then that's taken me on this journey that's been amazing, to be on podcasts like this and have my own podcast, 5 Minute Success, and all the people I've met, all the places I've gone. It's been fantastic.
And again, it sounds so simple, but it really is so life-changing, and that we do just our own mindsets, like what our own limitations, our own beliefs, if we don't challenge them, or sometimes we don't put ourselves in environments where they can be challenged, we're stuck in those beliefs because we don't really know that they are our beliefs. We don't even know we're stuck there. So by virtue of just reading a book or going to a course or a workshop or a mastermind or being around other people is a way to kind of look in the mirror and challenge ourselves to see where are we stuck and what are the mindsets that keep us there? And this time thing is a big one. So you're a busy woman. How do you look at time? Like, how do you organize your time? Obviously, you're about 5 Minute Success.
And yes.
So let's talk about that. Let's break that down in 5 minutes bits of time.
So that epiphany happened because I had been doing coaching and training with people, and they invariably would say they didn't have enough time for their personal or business development. And I have come to the realization that personal and business development is not only just important, but it's essential. It actually should come first because it's an investment in yourself. And I am my best asset, truly. If you want to talk about the ability to create income, I am it. And I used to feel like it was selfish for me to take away time from family or from business or from my clients or my office. And now I realize it's the other way around. The more I invest in myself, the more other people improve, their lives improve. It's like the pebble that's thrown into a pond, and they talk about the ripple effect. Well, in effect, I am the pebble. So when I'm thrown into the pond, those ripples are going out there and reverberating. And I found that everybody's lives improve when I work on myself and my personal business. So I, again, back to the time, I was like, okay, when I would ask people this kind of inquiring question, well, do you have 5 minutes a day? And everybody said 5 minutes a day. They had that. And I said, okay, so if there was something, a resource that could help you on your personal business development every day, and all you had to do was 5 minutes, would you do it? And everybody said yes. So that's where the idea came. And the stories, the reading is a combination of information and inspiration. Information is textbook style. Oftentimes it's kind of boring. It's, you know you have to read it, but you're like, I don't really want to. Inspiration sometimes feels a little too fluffy. It doesn't have enough substance to really sustain or to build and grow from. And so I was like, you know, peanut butter and chocolate. It could be transformational if you had information and inspiration. And it's turned out to be even more powerful than I ever anticipated when I came up with the idea. And there's been daily readers for motivation, inspirational for years. But this is a business book. It's designed for business people. I found that many of the applications apply really to practically any sales or entrepreneurial. I actually have, even though it's real estate success in 5 minutes a day, I actually have just as many people in other sales and business areas that read it, professionals. I read it because they're like, oh my gosh, this applies to me. And in some ways, it's easier for me to see how the application works when I read it in another industry. And then there's just lots of observations about what has happened since I wrote the book and it, I have heard back from people. The power, the impact of doing one thing a day, you're more likely to remember it. If you think about a lot of reading and training, it's a little tsunami-like. You almost get too much. You're like, I can't absorb all this. I can't apply all this. I have no way to put it into practice. And so it's good. It's just, it's like a smorgasbord that's like too many choices, right? So the idea of one a day is, has, we're finding this really more than just a domino effect. It's having this cumulative effect that is making even more of an impact on people.
So let's, I'd like to talk about that in a couple different ways. The first way is let's even look at real estate, for example. So back in the heyday of my real estate is that I was a real estate agent and I was actually with Keller for a good portion of my career. And then I opened up my own brokerage and that was a good portion of my real estate career. And now I'm an investor. That's kind of the third stage of, let's say, my real estate career. Neither really in sales or brokerage all that much, just, you know, dabbling in it here and there, mostly on the investment side and wealth accumulation side these days. When I was in real estate, for example, though, is that what I noticed, especially being a broker, and if you have a team, you probably come across the same thing, but it's really this aversion to business development. And so you said, you know, it's an investment, even if it is just 5 minutes a day, it's an, you know, some personal development because with, or inspiration, if that's listening to your podcast, reading a book, meditating, you know, whatever that inspirational piece, like I think what you're saying is just maybe start the day with 5 minutes there. That can be because we're so busy. We hit the alarm clock. We race out the door one way or another. We're just kind of reactive the rest of the day versus starting maybe that 5 minutes a day of inspiration. And then let's say the next 5 minutes of the day, if we're going to break it up into 5 minute increments, what I noticed is just this aversion to business development, like this avoid at any cost, the idea of picking up the phone or doing some sort of act that would create the opportunity for that next piece of business, that next potential client or customer, i.e. that would eventually turn into a sale, which then eventually turns into income. So what have you noticed? And have you noticed that same thing in your real estate career? One, and two, why do you think there's such an aversion to it? And three, what would be the coaching to try to break through that?
Oh, absolutely. And it's not just real estate. I mean, really, if you look across the board, I'm telling you that those things are like, they run through many other professions. And the components of the 5 minute success actually break down very closely to what you're talking about. So the first one is to commit to get leads, because everybody needs a lead before they have anything to do. And you're so right. That is, there's a in many cases, that holds the agent or the sales professional back. Really, truly, even dentists do business development. I mean, everybody does business development until you have somebody, you know, if you're a florist or a photographer, until you have somebody to work with, you really don't have anything to do. And so everybody's in it, and it really is. Habit formation is where I find that when people recognize that it's a habit to commit to lead generation. In fact, I wrote the book, Real Estate Success in 5 Minutes a Day, and then I found so many people struggled with lead generation. They were so paralyzed. I was like, okay, well, would you do a 66-day challenge? And there's a lot of research on habit formation and the 66 days in the research about how habits are formed. The first 21 or 3 weeks or so, many people start out as what they call an evangelist. Like they're like, if you've known anybody that's bought a Peloton or started Whole 30, I mean, they're so pumped. They're telling the whole world they're doing it, right? That's new agents. They get their license. They think, you know, the whole world's going to call them. And so they commit for that first 3 weeks. But then oftentimes they'll hit kind of a dip or a slop where they start to evaluate, do I really want to eat like this for the rest of my life? Do I really want to ride that bicycle every day? And so then they, it's kind of like what Seth Godin talks about, the dip. Then the next 3 weeks, or 21 days so, or 22 days, is when you actually start to have sustain the benefits of the new habit, and then you put it into practice. Now, you really actually, it doesn't stop there. James Clear is a resource on habits. In fact, he's got a book coming out called Atomic Habits, and I actually just interviewed him for my podcast, 5 Minute Success, and we talked about it, and I said, well, tell me about this habit formation research that you read. He goes, yeah, there's a lot of different theories, and the 66 days is probably the most commonly cited one. But really, truly, it's forever, because it stops becoming a habit when you stop doing it. It would just be like brushing your teeth. It would stop becoming a habit if you stop brushing your teeth. So that's the thing with lead generation. It really, the people that sustain success long term, they build the habits and they don't stop.
Well, and so the follow-up to that is absolutely. And so what do you do, for example, in your 5 minutes for lead generation? And how would you coach your agents, for example?
Well, so in the 5 Minute Success, there's all different kinds of strategies and motivationals. I mean, there's lots of different ways to lead generate, right? I mean, that's been proven. There's so many different models that work. The important thing is to do it. So in the 5 Minute Success, it's giving you ideas, it's giving you motivation, it's giving you strategy. It's probably going to take longer than 5 minutes to do it. One of the ones that I found a success, and I've coached a number of people, is to make the paradigm shift from time blocking to activity blocking. In time blocking, you set a certain amount of time, you know, power hour or whatever it is that you determine to be your time you're going to focus on it. What happens many times is people figure out a way to use up that time and not actually accomplish anything. And when our daughter was young in elementary school, she had some learning disabilities, and we had taken her to a number of tutors, and she'd figure out how to use up that hour and not accomplish anything. And I was like, it was so frustrating. I'd pick her up, I'd go, you did your homework. No, what did you do? Nothing. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just can't believe we paid all that money. So we found a tutor that had a different structure, and that was you went until you did your homework. And it completely changed my daughter's perspective. She quit trying to figure out how not to do it, and instead she figured out how to do it, which was the point, right? So in activity blocking, you figure out how many contacts you need to make. And I have done consistently 5 a day for the last 16 years. So that's what works for me. And then you commit to that. And I actually even use a calendar, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which is very low tech. And then I know where I can track my business. I know where it's coming. I know if I actually did it because the name's there. I do a lot of what I call front loading and backfilling. So like you, I was gone for a lot of August. I went to Peru and hiked Machu Picchu with our son. I had 2 retreats to go to, one of them with Al Elrod and the Quantum Leap Mastermind, and another with a women's executive group I'm with. And that's the longest I've been gone since I've owned my business. I front-loaded August in July. So when I came back in September, I had done the business development I needed to do. So when I came back to business. And instead of what many people do is they come back and then they go, oh dear, I don't have anything coming in. And then they scramble. So that is one strategy that I found that works.
Really brilliant. And same thing. So in my money coaching, I coach really 3 different categories of money. Well, not really. I coach 3 different categories of money. And to really bring an awareness that the way money operates are these 3 different categories. And one is the earnings category. The second category is how we spend money, because the way we become financial free is all about how we spend, but nobody talks about spending and nobody understands it. And then the third case is understanding it's about passive income creation, not about stocks and bonds and retirement. So, but anyway, these 3 categories, and we have to get good at all 3 if we're really going to produce this financial freedom, if that's the goal many people are after. But in the earning category with variable income people that tend to, you know, or who are mostly my followers, have some sort of variable income, meaning they're small business owners, freelancers, real estate agents, brokers, you know, that type of thing, photographers. And so, but they said, well, what do I do about this variable income? I mean, that's the hardest piece. I don't know how much money I'm going to be making. I said, well, we have to take as much of variability out of it as possible. And the only way to do that is to have a consistent practice, like everyday practice, about creating the business. The variability comes when there's the lags between not doing the business development. So that's the first thing on the earnings side is in a variable income type business, is that there has to be a focus, a constant focus on business development. And it has to become part of that. It's just part of the job. It's become part of the work. If returning emails is, you know, if in real estate, for example, and you have to complete a contract and put it into escrow as part of the job, picking up the phone and making those business development calls are more important, but it's just part of the job. So the first step into making kind of those peaks and valleys shorter is the constant dedication to what you're talking about. It really is just 5 minutes a day or 15 minutes a day. But that has to be it. But what I found is that so many people have this aversion to this thing called sales, and it comes from fear. So ultimately, I think it conceptually, people are like, yeah, I get it. But then that fear comes in, the fear of picking up the phone, the fear of feeling like a salesperson, the fear of what if I get rejected. And ultimately, that's what's holding people back, in my opinion. So what is your coaching for people to get over that, like, so they can form the habit and stay to it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I tell people I have the same, I mean, I'm human. I really, you know, my husband used to tease me about putting on my bulletproof vest because I took everything so personally. In along that line, I will say, watch the movie You've Got Mail, where they have that scene where it's not personal, it's business. I've learned to, and I say separate, I obviously am still a whole person. I've learned to see that people make decisions based on what works for them. And there are going to be situations, even baseball players, even the best of the business only got 1 1/3. So I was like, if I bat 1 1/3, I'm, you know, 1 3, then I'm up there with the pros. And so that's also a lot of the book is what I call success, thinking, activities, and vision, is that in this profession, but you know, the thing is it's in a lot of professions. Sales has the most obvious, but it really is prevalent in a lot of people's lives. And that is this concern about what other people think and comparing, you know, my insides with their outsides. And it appears like they have everything figured out. And so back to the, you know, focus on my own personal and business development. You know, when you have an abundance, first of all, an abundance mentality, but an abundant life, then you'll be less likely, myself included, to focus on the things that aren't working. And I tell people, if you know, as soon as something doesn't go the way you wanted it to go, just go back and do it again, because that is more likely something generating something, a positive outcome is going to propel you forward quicker than anything else. Activity makes up for a lot of this. And people, I think, forget that because it's success, thinking, activities, and vision. So you have the vision of what you want your business and life to be. You think you have the affirmations, but you actually have to take the actions. And when people get into action, they're more likely to work themselves out of it into a better mindset quicker. And what you were talking about, that roller coaster, I find, yes, that to be like the entrepreneur's dilemma or the salesperson's dilemma. They, and in the book, we call it the consult to sell. It's the process part where everybody has a process. They take somebody, a dentist cleans teeth, right? Real estate agents sell houses. If you get stuck in the weeds of the process, which you all need to do because that's how you make money, then you will only be as good as your next deal. You'll be only as good as your next teeth you clean. You'll only be as good as your next house you sell. And the people that do what I call connect, build, and grow, that get off of that hamster wheel that you talk about, they're the ones that create a sustainable, scalable, ongoing enterprise. And one of the key aspects to that is the beginning of the process, back to commit to get leads. If you go to you were using the roller coaster, if you go to a theme park and you watch them when they're busy, the roller coaster doesn't go all the way through before they start another one, right? They start one every minute or two. And that's the idea. We have control over the sending off of the roller coaster. We have the control over the activities of the business development. That's what we have control over. We don't have control over the rest of it. And so when you start there, then the rest of it tends to even out and work itself out, because people that are living abundant lives, when they have a lot of business, you have options. You have so many more options. You could top grade your leads. You could refer out. You can hire staff. You can hire a team. You can get more, you know, resources are available. You have so many more options. Abundance is a way better place to live in and operate in than lack.
Well, and you know, most everyone, obviously, you have a podcast. So most of my podcasts are listeners, but this is recorded on YouTube as well. So if anybody's watching, I mean, I can just see through your face that you live in abundance. I mean, you have this enormous smile. You're glowing, and you're just so full of inspiration and desire. And it's as though your life is just getting started in a way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right? And it is. It's such a mindset piece that if you came from a mindset of lack and lack of time, lack of business, lack of something, you would look and be speaking totally differently. So it really is such a beautiful thing. And it really is just a choice, isn't it? I mean, it's
absolutely a choice. I mean, I've lived through the same loan crisis in Texas in the 80s. And then I had a business partner who passed away in September 08, the same week the financial markets crashed. And it was terrible. I mean, everybody who was around then, you know, was going, wow, how did you survive? And you know, I could figure out how to think about all the doom and gloom. I live in Washington, D.C. And yet I choose. It is a choice. It truly is. So when those things start to creep in, I'm going to focus on the good of my life, be thankful for it, focus on abundance, focus on the things I can do, focus on my activities and my, you know, how I'm thinking, and stay tuned to my vision.
So if we look at this thing called scarcity and abundance thinking, let's give a scenario. Like, how do you have any advice, or is it that simple, just like snap to make the difference? Like, what would be an example of scarcity thinking compared to the same situation but abundance thinking? Like, what is abundance thinking?
Okay, so like for a real estate agent, scarcity is right now we have a scarcity of inventory for certain price ranges and certain segments of the market. And then we have too much inventory in other price segments of the market. And scarcity thinking would be focusing on all those aspects that are market conditions. And abundance would be going, okay, well, so if this is a certain markets are buyers markets, and I'm going to go find more buyers. There's certain markets are sellers markets. I'm going to go find more sellers, or I'm going to come up or learn great strategies and scripts on how to help the clients I do have to get into the market that they're in, instead of thinking about, well, I should have bought in 09 or I should have sold in 04, which is really the last time we had a great sellers market in some of our areas. Because I mostly deal with upper bracket, and we have a demographic shift going on right now. We have a huge demographic shift going on right now with the baby boomers, with the largest generation, Generation X. There's 10 million less. So there's 10 million less people to buy the big baby boomer houses. While at the same time, the baby boomers are in a right size, downsize, change lifestyle mode of wanting urban. So we have two demographics going for the same commodities, products. So you could like look at all that and you could go, wow, this is really lack. It's terrible. Sky's falling. Or you could go, oh my gosh, all those baby boomers, they're trying to figure out where they're going to go next. I could be a part of that. And they have children. that are ready to go buy their first house, I could go find them too. So you could, there's several multiple ways of looking at it. I am choosing to focus on the ways that then creates opportunity.
Well, and I really love how you've broken this down. And it's, I think the words you used, I'm looking at my notes here, but it's the personal growth or personal development and professional development and business development. So business development, what we've just talked about is if you're going to be in business, a business owner in sales as an entrepreneur, is anything where your income is tied to how much business you develop and create, that actually obviously has to be a constant, steady practice, right?
I would say that, though, this really applies to anyone. I don't know if you're familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And the highest one is self-actualization. The lower ones are mostly physical needs. And then there's relational needs. And it hit me. I was like, okay, it's not like this pyramid you climb and you get one satisfied and then you move on to the next. If you go to the self-actualization and focus on it, then all the other needs get taken care of. And so I that's why. It's because the more, and this is something that's happened to me late in life. I mean, I'm 59, so we're talking, I just kind of started figuring some of this out a few years ago. So I'm like, you can start at any time. But I think I probably have 40 more years. My grandmother lived to be in her 90s. I got 40 more years. So I got some really good years ahead for me. I just trained for my first triathlon sprint. I got a lot of exciting things that I've got more books coming, online courses. I'm just at the beginning of this journey. And so, but the more I found that I focus on what Maslow calls self-actualization, or that the more everything else falls into place and improves.
I love that. And again, just looking at you, you are just getting started. You're like,
absolutely.
I'm 59 and I'm just starting my career and I've got 40 years and watch out, world. And age is a limitation. I know with a lot of my coaching clients, they're thinking, I'm 59, it's too late. Mm-mm. And I hear that all the time. And there's almost some self-loathing there and some guilt that they didn't start something sooner, and then the mindset that it's too late. And so it just kind of, it goes into this survival mindset versus this abundant mindset that I've got 40 years, I'm just getting started, and what am I going to do next? And who am I going to learn from? And, you know, it's an attitude.
It really is. I mean, if you think about the way fitness has come from when I was young, I'm probably more fit now than I was when I was younger. And the idea that you really truly can even get a new body. My husband just had an ankle replacement. He's 67. And he goes, I just want the rest of the body to be new. And I was like, you know what? You have a choice with that. And that's called exercise and eating healthy. And we all have a choice every day. And so we can choose this, you know, abundant living healthy. And I love the fact that you're combining the wealth and the wealth, because, and you've talked about this, you know, if your body is the only place you get to live, right? While you're here. And so there are, living a full life is multifaceted, and that has to be a part of it as well.
I love that. So that's the business development side. And what I see in you, and I've heard just some of the names that you've said you studied under, like John Maxwell, you've studied under Hal Elrod, you've mentioned a couple, you know, just some authors, but clearly you're as focused on personal development as you are on business development. So it's a leading question. I mean, it's an obvious answer, but how much importance do you put on personal development? Like, how much time and energy and money, which as I call, we have investments. So in the money, when I teach money, we make an investment in something for the idea of getting a return. So we're both in real estate. We would, neither one of us would ever invest in a house to lose money. Like, if we're not going to spend $250,000 on a house that's actually worth $220,000, or we're sure it's going to go down to $220,000 tomorrow with a negative cash flow. Like, that would be a negative return on investment. So when we're making financial investments, we're looking, okay, if I'm going to put this amount of money into it. It's going to maybe take this amount of time and this amount of resource. Maybe I have to put some sweat equity into it even. But the whole idea in the investing world is this thing called a return on investment. So you make the investment to produce a return. That's what the investing game is. It's all about return. And then there's different returns and yada, yada, yada. So I think where a lot of people miss, obviously business development's a return, a big return later on called income. But in the scarcity mindset, what I come across a lot of people is that they, because they have this mindset about time limitation, they don't have the time and money limitation. They don't have the time and money, i.e. investment resources, to invest in personal development. So how do you see personal development as, quote unquote, an investment that produces a return? And I, for that, therefore, you make a huge investment in yourself because you see the returns.
Well, absolutely. I would say that the times in the beginning, I used mostly or worked with mostly coaches that were productivity coaches and business coaches, and great value in that. I actually find a much greater return on the personal development side. And it is a time and money thing. It's like when I was doing a book club in our office, and people were like, well, do I have to read the book? And I'm like, well, no, but if you read the book, you're going to get so much more out of it. So it's the same thing with any of this, right? I mean, it's like, you know, someone else can't lift the weights for you. I mean, you really have to do it at some point yourself. And you mentioned Hal Elrod. So he has what he calls the Miracle Morning, which is the every morning investing yourself first, because as you start your day, then the rest of the day will go. And I've been doing the Miracle Morning for 3 years now. And some people are like, well, you know, how much time? You know, really, that's again a lack mentality. But if you really want to just go to the bare minimum, I mean, you could do a 7-minute Miracle Morning. I mean, you could do the components of it are he calls SAVERS, it's an acronym. So silence or meditation, then affirmations, then visualization, exercise, reading, and scribing, which is so that it fits into the acronym, but it's really journaling. And so I have some great tools that I use to do all of those. I do just a minute or two of meditation before I get out of the bed in the morning. I do my affirmations. I have to do some exercises. So I do that when I do the exercises. I listen to an app that has affirmations on it, and then visualizations, then exercise. I exercise every day, almost always in the morning, because I do think there's more benefit to that. Obviously, I read every day, read my book, read other people's books. And then the scribing, I use the 5-minute journal. There's an app, which has really turned into being very powerful, because you have the option to put a photo up, and it's just like a little review of my life. I could just like scroll through and I go, oh my gosh, I remember when I did that. You know, an unexamined life isn't worth living. And so just taking those, the 5-minute app, 5-minute journal takes less than 5 minutes. So it starts to become, okay, so I think I am my best asset. I really truly believe that my ability to earn money and to give back and to make contribution is larger than all of my investment properties, really anything else that I've done. And so I make the commitment in terms of scheduling then retreats or events. I put them on the calendar at the beginning of the year. And then my life has a way of working its way around it instead of the other way. Because I think what many people do and what I used to do is I waited till I had time. And that was when I never had enough time. And so I make the time, and then everything else finds a way of getting done. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's been around a long time in motivational, but the whole big rocks, and you know, then you put in the pebbles, and you put in the sand, and then you put in the water. The idea is you do the big things first, you put those in first, and then you fit everything else around it. And it really starts to become clearer. It's a process. It's a journey, not a destination.
So how much time, energy, and money do you think you put into personal, professional development as far as reading, not and even outside the 5 minute, maybe morning, but as far as like reading or studying or going to masterminds or workshops or courses or anything that's really challenging you or some form of learning or growth.
So you want to know money or you want to know time or both? Okay, well, then we'll talk about Hello Raw. It's Quantum Leap Mastermind. So he has the Best Year Ever event in Tuesday in December in San Diego. And then Austin is like 3 or 4 days in March. And then in August or September, there's another 3 or 4 days in Cleveland. I used to try to figure out how I could just get in and get out really fast. And now I'm like, no, I need to really have time to. I'm fortunate my daughter lives in Austin, so I always try to stay and spend some time with her. So that commitment is, I think that last year's rates were like $6,000 or $7,000. It actually is better than it was before, so it's actually gone down in price. And then they have these master classes. I have to say, I like the in-person events. And then you have to pay for your travel on top of that, right? So that's just the mastermind. So then that has it's an accountability component. So they break everybody up into groups, and each year it changes. So this is my third year in. And that group, we have a Zoom coaching or Zoom call. We're doing it once a month for 90 minutes, an hour and a half. And then we each have an accountability partner. And so that's just how often you and your accountability partner want to check in with each other. My accountability partner and I try to do another 1 or 2 30-minute calls a month. So that's the what I kind of call the big picture. Then I'm in a smaller women's group. It's really more personal development than business development. I will say the thing I did not anticipate out of the Quantum Leap Mastermind is all the business relationships I've made. It's been phenomenal. So I didn't go into it with that, but it's happened. The other group is the Maura Lethbridge has a women's coaching group. And that was actually where I had my big epiphanies about the time. And so she has a retreat usually once a year, 3 or 4 days. And then that's more of an in-person kind of group with 3 or 4 other ladies. We meet on a monthly basis. Sometimes we have Zoom calls. Well, actually, we meet twice a month, either Zoom or in person. So that is running, I'm going to say, between 8,000 and 10,000 a year.
So thank you and thank you so much for sharing that, because again, as I'm stumbling across this all the time and my desire to help people and listening to their stories, listening to their narratives, the mindset, and it typically goes according to exactly what you're saying, is this limitation, the scarcity mindset. I don't have enough time and or I don't have enough money, but it's usually I don't have enough time and I don't have enough money to invest in professional development, to invest in myself, to invest in business development. That tends to be more of a fear thing than a time thing. We just use time as an excuse. But I'm so glad you shared that, because when people are looking for, it's like, it's counterintuitive. It's the opposite of what it feels it should be. Meaning we're waiting for the one day that when I have enough time and money, then I'll make the investment in myself.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So we're just thinking our future self is going to have more time or money without realizing, like, no, the investment starts today for the return to come out tomorrow. You don't invest in a piece of real estate property today to think you're going to sell it tomorrow, but you can't wait to buy it a year from now for that return to show up today. So it's the same sort of financial doctrine that applies to life in a way. It's just one play out of the way life works. But I just appreciate that it's uncomfortable. That's a lot of money you're spending. It's a lot of time away from your business. It's
and family. Yeah,
and it family. Is. And unsettling. It's like, man, that little stretches the pocketbook a little bit. And that's uncomfortable. And man, I might miss 1 or 2 sales. And that's natural. That's going to be there. But you know, so much more abundance comes out of that investment later on. Sometimes it's just the epiphanies that are breakthroughs in your thinking that allow you to go back home and have better relationships, make more money, be a better business person, some of those you shared. Or sometimes it's you go in and you make business relationships that turn into big deals that you never would have even imagined. But it requires the investment up front. Like, we have to invest today in ourselves, in our business, in our life, But then would you agree? I can just tell that, well, not, you've said it, that you truly believe you're your number one asset. You're worth the investment, that you're responsible for the creation and the outcome of your own life. So you're going to invest in you first, even if it's uncomfortable and inconvenient, so that you can live this this big life that's fully possible, that you believe that's fully abundant and possible and is in your ability to create.
Well, and even more so, I feel like I'm moving into it faster. I used to, the resistance was so strong and I was just like, you know, struggle through it. Oh, am I going to do this again? Should I do this again? And I'm just belabor it. And now I'm just like, I know that that's going to happen and I'm going to feel uncomfortable and I'm going to do it anyhow. I mean, it's just like with my personal trainer wants me to lift something. And I'm like going, really? Are you sure that's a good idea right now? And she's like, yes, I am. I do think it's a very good idea. And so I do it anyhow. And then, yes, there's some pain associated with it, right? But the benefits are I'm stronger, I'm fitter. I'll share almost everybody around me now is going, okay, Karen, when are you going again? Because I come back so much more energized and also refreshed. It isn't just a matter of, you know, coming back with all the ideas and they're going to all change so that my life's going to be better, but I come back better. And then that, again, back to that whole ripple effect, I'm like, I am the pebble. I really am. I can make way more impact as I improve. And so it really is a paradigm shift. I will say in the beginning, it was extremely uncomfortable. And I think my husband probably looked at me sideways a few times, like, really? And I'm like, yes, because it's my turn. You got the first 25 years. I get the next 25. I'm going to do this. And I'll just say that I can attest that the only thing I wish I would do now is just like everybody else is wish they would have bought real estate 10 years ago. I wish I would have done started 10 years ago. That's the only regret I have. And so I think to myself, okay, so what will I regret in 10 years if I don't do now? I mean, if I look forward and I go, well, gosh, I wish I would have hiked Machu Picchu when I was 59. Okay, I'm going to go hike Machu Picchu this year. So I'm looking forward and I'm looking back and going, you know, when am I going to do it if I don't do it now? And there's this acronym, WINN, when if not now? So I think to myself, okay, you know, I don't have time or money to do a lot of these things, but if I'm going to do them, when am I going to do it if I don't do them now? And then that helps propel me forward through the resistance because it's real. It really is. It's just like lifting weights. There's some pain associated with it. So you just have to know that others have gone before, and if I could do it, you could do it too.
And you're right on. Along with what you're saying also is that there's always a natural resistance. We're humans, and the natural resistance is to avoid pain,
yep,
and to avoid fear.
Yep. Yet
where pain is built in and fear is built in. So it's not like the fear never goes away. Like I still have fear to pick up the phone. It's just knowing I have to pick up the phone to get the result. I still feel pain when I go bust my ass at the gym. Like it's uncomfortable, but the pain produces the results that I want. So it's not an absence of pain or fear. It's the understanding pain or fear are part of the process that are the only way to get to the result. So it's embracing the fear, understanding the fear never goes away. And it's okay. It's just fear. We're not going to die from it. It's okay. It's a little pain, but it's not like, you know, we have our, like you said, our finger on the stove that we have to put there and suffer through it. That type of pain. It's just, it's a discomfort. But we can all bust through that and get to the other side.
Yeah. Hal Elrod has an affirmation that it's really powerful. It's, I cannot fail. You know, learn, grow, or become better than before. So if you think about it, if you fail faster, you'll learn faster, you'll grow more, and you'll be better than before quicker. If you delay it or wait, then it actually is more painful. I mean, people who, in terms of lead generation or business development, they agonize over it. They're actually in pain longer than the people who just say, yep, this is uncomfortable. I'm going to do it anyhow.
And that's so well said. You're feeling the pain anyway. So
yeah, you're going to feel that pain longer if
right.
you wait
Right.
There's that book, Brian Tracy, Eat That Frog. I mean, the frog doesn't get any prettier. So just, you know, do it. And then you will reap the benefits faster. Even if it doesn't work, you know, you'll know faster. And then you can go forward quicker.
Well, you are amazing. And this is just our hour of sped by. Talk about, like you said, you know, you have your finger on a stove for a minute. It seems like an eternity when you're having a great time. An hour goes by like in 10 minutes, which just happened. So many nuggets. Again, just seeing you face to face. You're just a beautiful human being. I love your light. I love the way you shine. I just love your positive energy that exudes out of you. And so the world is just such a better place with you out being a pebble, creating that ripple effect. So thank you for your work. I like to close all of my podcasts with one question, and it is to do a little myth busting. Where do you find, kind of in your work, what's a myth that you think really plagues people? That's just a myth. It's not true. But you'd like to bust it.
I think the biggest myth is that other people don't feel that way. And if you, back to this, you know, rejection and this fear, I think people think that other people aren't feeling that way. Again, comparing the outsides to the insides. And it is the more I, you know, professionals, almost every professional feels that way. And so when you can recognize that it's a human condition, and yet the people who succeed at a high level recognize that and feel the fear and do it anyway, I think that's one of the biggest myths that, you know, if I can do it, they can do it too. So that's what I would want to empower them with.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Thank you for spending more than 5 minutes with me.
Absolutely. And I hope to
my listeners.
Yeah, maybe.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. And I look forward to it. I live here in Austin. Your daughter's here in Austin. So next time you're in town, hopefully we can actually talk over a real coffee.
Yes, let's do that.
Thank you so much for your time.
And so ends another episode of the Wealthy Wealthy Life podcast, where Christina brings you unconventional, cutting-edge strategies from leading experts to optimize your wealth and your health. As a token of gratitude for listening, go to podcast.fallingformoney.com and download a free copy of her best-selling book, Falling for Money. If you're ready to change your relationship with money, head on over to podcast.fallingformoney.com and download your free copy today.